It's National Water Quality Month, and for today's In Touch, we're joined by Tony Maxwell, District Conservationist for Washington County, to discuss the West Fork Crooked Creek Water Quality and Soil Health Initiative, which began this spring.
We were one of eight demonstration projects selected in the state to demonstrate water quality practices, in essence to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus in the streams.
And this is part of the nutrient reduction strategy.
Yes, the state of Iowa has a strategy developed. All the states in the upper Midwest that drain to the Mississippi developed a plan. Iowa developed one on their own, a voluntary plan that included demonstration projects, much like our West Fork Crooked Creek project, to show practices that would, in fact, reduce those nutrients in the streams.
Does this particular watershed have issues with nutrients?
No more than any other stream. We just selected that for a couple of reasons. West Fork is a slice right through the middle of Washington County. It includes primarily all cropland and lots of hog production also. That's really the focus. That's the target of the strategy, cropland. So we picked that out. It was a good size to work with. We'd done some work in that area already with nutrient reduction, and so it just seemed like a good fit to have that as a full-blown demonstration project.
And so you're showing these farmers that live along this watershed what these kind of conservation practices can do?
Yeah, we're showing them how to apply these practices. The cover crops are the main one, how to go about doing that, and then showing them how effective they are in reducing nutrients. Part of the project is a monitoring project that we've selected tile outlets to sample water from to see how much nitrates are in those tile waters, and hopefully showing a reduction by the implementation of some of these practices.
What are the main questions that farmers have brought to these demonstrations that you've held?
Well, the primary thing is just how to go about establishing cover crops, what type of cover crops to plant would be most effective and easiest. Those are probably some of the biggest ones.
With this cost sharing that you're offering, is it easy to get these farmers to sign on and try these different practices out?
We've had very good luck at having farmers sign up for cover crops. I think we've got 2,600 acres planned for this fall. We'd like to get a few more. We're kind of in that part of the year now. People are starting to think about harvest and what they might do after harvest. So we're expecting a few more applications to come in here before the combines start to roll. It's a three-year project. Our goal was to have 16,000 acres of cover crops seeded over the three-year period in the watershed.
And are you focusing on different parts of the watershed each year, or are you just inviting all the farmers out?
Right now, as a demonstration project, we're really trying to get coverage in the entire watershed. The funds that we have, obviously, we cannot pay for cover crops on every acre out there, but we're hopeful that we'll have cover crops at least in every neighborhood, so the farmers and neighbors can see how that's done and how that's going for those folks.
Well, with cover crops, is that something that farmers do right after they harvest the fields?
Yeah, the main cover crop, of course, there's several different plants you can use for cover crops, but the one we promote is rye, cereal rye. It's planted with a drill right after harvest. It's extremely hardy. It does well planted that time of year. Does not require a lot of moisture. It just seems to establish very well. So that's the one we're promoting the most in this county.
With the goal being reducing nutrients in the watershed, how long before these cover crops and other practices, how long before we see the effects of these?
Well, generally, cover crop would reduce nitrogen in the stream by about 30%. So for the entire stream to show a reduction of 30%, we would have to have cover crops on the entire cropped portion of that watershed. So that's a pretty lofty goal, but to actually see a difference in the stream, we would have to have significant coverage of the cropland in the watershed.
With nitrogen specifically, why keep it out of the streams?
Well, the main problem is with drinking water. In Iowa, the communities that use streams for drinking water, once it exceeds 10 parts per million, they have to denitrify that before they can put that into the public water system. Now, in this county, we're not using any, to my knowledge, we're not using any streams for water, but certainly other parts of the state are. And ultimately, all the water does drain to the Gulf of Mexico, and the nitrates affects the fisheries in the Gulf. forces those the shrimps and those types of things farther into deeper water. So it's kind of a couple things that those nitrates are doing that we'd like to keep them out of the water.
Well, this is a big project. Is there anything else that you guys are working on over there at the Soil and Water Conservation District?
Well, another part of the project, to treat a specific tile line, we are looking at bioreactors. And it sounds kind of scientific, but really all a bioreactor is a trench dug near the outlet of a tile line filled with wood chips. We divert the water from the tile line through this trench, and bacteria on those wood chips will eat up the nitrates, and as the water leaves the reactor, it is free of soluble nitrogen in the water. So we're doing some of those too. We've got one installed so far, and we're looking for another one somewhere in the watershed to demonstrate that particular practice.
Is there a number to call if someone's interested?
They can sure call us here at the Soil Conservation District at 319-653-6654.
Tony, thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks, Nathan.
That was my conversation with District Conservationist for Washington County, Tony Maxwell. I'm Nathan Swenson for this edition of In Touch with Southeast Iowa.